Rebecca Neal, the podcast. I'm your host, Rebecca, a holistic health and life coach, business mentor, creative entrepreneur, and your online bestie. I'm here to remind you that it is more than okay to show up as your authentic self, to have high expectations for your life, to become financially independent, and get paid to do what it is that you love. Each week, I'm going to share episodes with you to inspire, educate, and empower you to reconnect to your soul's purpose, to awaken that power within and create a life and business that you desire. My mission and purpose is to help you find confidence to take your life from ordinary to extraordinary, to give you the tools and steps to living more in alignment with your true self. So if you're ready for honest and practical, soulful lessons, and you're committed to investing in yourself, then you are in the right place. And the reality is, no one's coming to save you, and it's really only up to you to start to create and design a life that you love, a life that's exciting and invigorating. It's time to take charge of your life right now. Are you ready to grow, babe?
Podcast live edition. I am so excited about today's episode because we have the gorgeous Sarah Crawford with us, and this is the start of many beautiful, inspirational, conversational podcast interviews that I'm going to be doing. So I'm really excited because I've never recorded my podcast, but today we are recording and we are live. And I want to introduce you to someone that I've known for quite some time. We were actually just discussing, it's been about 6 or 7 years now that I've known Sarah. And so Sarah is a marketing and brand strategist, a digital media editor, and international writer. Her extensive career has seen her work over the past 25 plus years with some of the top brands and highly successful individuals globally. Sarah's passion is connecting people through storytelling. So I am really, really blown away and so grateful to have you on today. And we are going to be talking about some great topics today. And Sarah, if you could tell us how you like to have your coffee and a little bit more about what you've been working on lately and a little bit about who you are as a person.
Yeah, thanks, Rebecca. Thanks for having me on your podcast. It's something that I've wanted to do for a long time because I really resonate with everything that you talk about and just that amazing positivity that you have each day for everyone. So thank you. How do I have my coffee each day? I have my coffee not too strong and just, yeah, long black, a little bit of milk in the top. So, and I've actually stopped drinking coffee this week. So a big one for me. Yeah, it's a big one for me there. But as you said, I'm a writer. That's probably my biggest passion with everything. And my big thing that I love in life is actually connecting. So connecting with myself, with the earth, with other people, and connecting each of us to each other. So yeah, that's pretty much where it's been. At the moment, I'm working a lot on still connecting, but connecting through business. So with marketing, through the brands that, you know, I work with the marketing agency that I have, Polka Dot Marketing, and, you know, really taking them through this time that we're in at the moment as well with all the changes.
That's awesome. And did you used to have something in fashion as well? Is that right?
Yeah, I did, definitely. And I still have that. It's called The Man Has Style. So I had a fashion background for about 15 years and I worked across different areas, design, production, and all of that. And really loved the menswear side of things. So menswear design was definitely my area, but I wanted to move out of that and actually write. So I started writing about 8 years ago now. Yeah, 8 years ago now, 2012. And at the time I was on the Gold Coast and writing a lot about the high-end men's fashion, working a lot with London and Paris. And yeah, there was no menswear as such on the Gold Coast then. And I was really missing it, but didn't want to actually move to a city. So started writing from there and built up a really good business from that. And yeah, I still do a little bit with that now. And
yeah, I
love it.
And that's where I guess some of your writing really began, doing those sorts of menswear, those blogs and things like that back then, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So I've been blogging now since about 2006, I would say. maybe even earlier. And I've been working online since 1996.
So it shows how,
and there's a lot of people listening now that probably weren't even born then.
I resonate. I think I had my first website when I was 21, and I think that was like 2005 or 2006. Yeah. I had a blog spot for my blog.
I had a blog spot too.
It's crazy, right, when you look back at all the things that we had. Well, it sounds like you've got some great experience there. Can I ask, with everything that's going on right now in with the world and the global crisis, let's say, that's happening, how are you supporting your clients right now? What do you think are the key things that you're making sure people are across, or how do you show up best as a person in business for people in business?
Is really just keeping everything calm. That's the most important thing. So it's really important for me to be grounded every day. So if I'm not grounded, then that will flow through to my clients, and really being able to listen to what they are struggling with. But also a lot of the time is that they're not sure what to do. Some of them do know what to do, but they're not sure like how to get that out to everyone. So really just listening and being able to just come up with solutions on the spot. So as they're talking, is going through everything in my mind and just plotting it out, and then going, okay, this is what we're doing, and being really confident about it. The beauty is I've gone through so much change in my life and worked across so many different areas that for me it's second nature. Even though we haven't experienced this before, it's still just adapting to change, going through, finding that positive side of it and the values for everyone in it. And
I agree. I think it's important, like even as a coach for myself, is energy is everything. And if you're showing up anxious or worried or uncertain, that's what your clients are going to feel. And then you're projecting that onto them. And so I think our job as leaders or people in business that do coach or work with other business owners in this time, we need to lead the way and we need to hold their hand and pivot with them and innovate and all those sorts of things. So I totally resonate with that for sure. So today I wanted to talk more to you about values and habits and all these incredible things that we had a discussion with already previous to jumping on live. And something I watched you do for quite some time was the Habits to Happiness that you were doing on a daily basis. Can you share a little bit more about what that was about and how you posted a dress a day for how long? Like, tell me more about that.
So Habits to Happiness is really just I started looking at different things around what would make me happy years ago when I was actually quite unhappy and in not a great time in my life. I felt quite trapped within my situation that I was in and wasn't sure how to get out of it. And it wasn't necessarily a hugely bad situation, but it was something where I felt I'd lost myself and didn't know what I wanted in life. So I looked really at, you know, I'm the only one who can change that. So I need to work on myself. And it just started around looking at the habits that I had and what made me happy. I just wrote lists about the things that made me happy and I kept doing that. And then I noticed things that were common. And from there, I just started going into each day trying to do those things. And one of the things was the dress a day. So it was at the start of 2018 and that I started that. So I started it January the 1st. It came about because I used to always say, oh, if I could wear a dress every day, I'd be so happy. And it kept coming up to me and I was like, well, why don't I? There's no reason I can't do that. You know, I own my own business. I can wear whatever I like. I have lots of dresses, you know, I can do this. So anyway, I started doing that and I wanted to see how long it would be, like how long I would do. So my aim was, okay, I'm going to do this for 1 year, but continues after a year, well, that doesn't matter, but I'll document for as long as it goes over that time. And it was really amazing. So I'd post a photo every day, not to say here's what I wear, but it was more, I feel fantastic. I'm wearing a dress. It took, you know, less decisions, all that type of thing. And it got to about day 70 and I started, and every day I was like, this is great. Day 70, I was like, you know what? I don't feel like wearing a dress today. So I wore a skirt and a t-shirt. I love wearing t-shirts. So a skirt and a t-shirt. I went to the shops. I came back and I was like, nah, I want the dress back. Went back into the dress. And then I had a trip over to a last minute trip over to London. It was quite cold there. And I had a week where I wasn't wearing a dress, and came back and Yeah, I sort of wore a dress for that a bit after that, but it got to about day 90, I'd say, and it dropped off. And from there, I just went, I'm not going to wear a dress anymore. I didn't feel bad about it because it wasn't about, you know, I have to go for 1 year. It was more about the feeling each day. So from there, I started looking at different habits and how long it would take before I started, they would start to drop off and I would lose that kind of spark with it as well. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I still have to change things around. So even if you find something, you know, the habits that do make you feel happy, that even within that, you need to mix it up a bit as well.
Yeah, yeah, you need to adapt the habits within. Mm,
like, yeah.
I love the happiness thing. And I think something that I learned very much over the last couple of years going through the traumatic relationship that I was in was that happiness is up to us. It comes from within. That's my greatest lesson, and we can't be looking to others for our happiness. And I think that's part of my journey. And for you, I think you there smiling and nodding, you agree. And I think nobody can give us that, because if we are looking outside of us for happiness, we are basing our happiness on other things and other people, and that can be too up and down, right? So finding that happiness within is a big thing. And so I know you're writing a book, Sarah, and so
yes.
Tell us a little bit more about that, because it is in relation to what we're going to be diving into.
Yeah, so I've been writing this book now for about 3 years, and it's been quite interesting because it has brought up everything, and it is all around habits and getting to know what actually makes you happy and just the journey of that as well. So when I started, I actually thought it was going to be a book about minimalism. Because at the time I was like, I need to strip everything back in my life and get back to basics. And then I realized that it's not so much about that. It's more really about getting to know yourself and self-awareness. So I've been writing that for 3 years. I'm closer to finishing, which is something that we'll talk about a little bit later maybe as well. it's something that I've been just working on every day. It's been an amazing journey as well. For me, it's, yes, the goal is to have the book published. And, you know, at first I thought it was going to be, I can just pull this together in a couple of months. And as I'm writing it and going through that awareness, I'm like, no, there's a journey here that I'm going through. And, yeah, it's been amazing.
That's awesome. And I think you hear that a lot with authors, that it is a very cathartic, is that the word I'm looking for? But yeah, and it's an experience for the author to go through the process. And I know for me, journaling is just like that. And yeah. So journaling is everything to me. If you're a client of mine, you know I'm all about the journaling. And so that's a big part of my morning routine. And I will ask you actually what, you know, routines and habits are absolutely key for success in my books, my opinion. Yeah. And so how do you start your day? What is your morning routine? Tell us a little bit about that, and maybe our listeners can really learn from what you do, someone who is the queen of habits, I'm going to call you, and share a little bit about what you get up to in the mornings.
Yeah, I love mornings. Mornings are my favorite part of the day. I wake up with, no matter how I'm feeling, I'll say aloud, today is going to be amazing. And I have that straight off. No matter what it is that I'm feeling, I'll put that aside and actually just go with and set the agenda for the day with that. I started that when I was living in Byron Bay, probably I would say 10, 12 years ago now. And it was suggested to me by someone to do that. And I started doing it then, and it's amazing. Like, it just switches you around. But I get up, I hydrate, so I have water by my bed, drink as much water as I can. I just get up, get some natural light, you know, clean my teeth, wash my face, do all that sort of thing, get ready, get outside, do exercise. I listen to a podcast. I generally walk. I sometimes run, but mostly I walk. And I listen to podcasts a lot of the time, I'd say majority of the time. And I find that my mind is really switched on in the morning. So I really set up my day going forward with that. I'll have a coffee if I'm drinking coffee. I'm either on or off coffee. just keep hydrated, keep my mind positive, planning out anything that's, brainstorming, all that type of thing. And I mind feed. So I'm putting in that really good information early in the morning and, you know, setting everything up. Because whatever I do in the morning, it's even no matter what happens in the day, I've I've won so many times. And I also have a cold shower.
Yes, one of my favorites. Absolutely. Wim Hof. I love that. And I'll share a little bit more on my routine. And I really love to get outside and get sunshine in the morning as well. I start my day with a giant glass of water. It's a big thing. And I think I've shared on my podcast long time ago my morning routine because it's pretty extensive. But I love waking up early. I love being up around five, you know, and getting the sunshine in. I'll always journal. I always have a coffee and I move my body however that looks, whether it's a gym class, whether it's a walk, whether it's, you know, I'm so grateful to live so close to the beach that I can just walk up and down. And I too love to mind feed, like you said, like really fuel myself for the day and set myself up, because our subconscious is so clear in the morning and so, like, we're so connected in the mornings that if we are feeding that negative energy and anything like the news, for example, or this whole virus that's going on, what do you think the rest of your day is going to look like? And like you said, you win in the morning by doing these things and really setting yourself up strong. And so for me, it's hydration, like you said, it's coffee because I just love coffee. Journaling, maybe I'll pull some cards and then I get outside and I move my body, because most of the time I'm inside all day. I'm self-isolating on a regular basis.
So am I.
I'm really used to this whole self-isolation. So I guess then as the day plays out, for me personally, my nighttime routine isn't as structured because it depends, you know, I might be at my partner's house, I might be, you know, here, there and everywhere. I try to stick to it. One of the number one things that I do at nighttime is put my phone on airplane mode always. I also send my bestie in America my gratefuls list for the day, because we connect over that. And I try and do like some form of unwinding, like it might be reading a book or listening to something just calming and soothing. It's actually funny because my partner is complete opposite. He needs to watch YouTube and cars, and I get really excited about cars, so I'm like, this is not okay at nighttime. So my nighttime routine needs to be calming because my mind never stops, and for me to fall asleep I need to be in that state of relaxation because I'm just energized all the time. So how does your nighttime routine serve you?
My nighttime routine is actually quite it's the same every night. I finish and then I sort of take my time getting ready for bed. I turn off the technology. I still have my phone though, because I use Insight Timer, and I use that for music. So I'll have, depending on how I'm feeling, I'll have piano or harp. Nice. Lately I've been having a lot of like the storms of rain and everything. And yeah, once I've sort of got ready for bed and everything, I sometimes will have a cold shower just before I go to bed. That's not always the same. But then I journal. So I spend a bit of time journaling. My bedroom, I like to keep it like nice and white with everything. I have a little desk in there, no technology, has a mirror at the front. So when I'm journaling, I can actually see myself and I look at myself right in the eyes when I'm doing things to see whether it's that truth as well. I can usually feel it when I'm writing, but I'll look and it's like you can't deny that. So yeah, I write. I have this little thing. I got this so you can see. I don't know if you can see, but it's a jar. And in that there's a little, I do this. I have a whole lot of jars there. So I write for 10 minutes in my journal, and then after that I do these little notes, and this is a thank you, and I just write on a little piece of paper here.
I love that. That's so sweet.
And I put the date on it, and I've been doing this for a long time. So the jars fill up and then I get new ones, but I do that for thank you, I do that for gratitude. I have things that I'm proud of in there, things that are new, things around money, and my journaling, which we, you know, we talk about more, but I have a practice around that as well. And then when I sleep, I have music that I listen to on Insight Timer as well. Sometimes I'll meditate, but not always. But I'll go into that really calm state, and I like everything all white around me, not much in there. It's really calm, and I say thank you over and over, like
something I do a lot when talking about thank you is every time I receive a payment or an invoice paid or anything like that, I say thank you three times out loud.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's one of my habits, my gratitude. Because I don't journal at nighttime. I journal in the morning. I do my gratefuls at night time, and I listen to calming music with Insight Timer. Actually, for you guys listening, that Insight Timer is the best. It's free. It is full of goodness. I just think it's amazing. I actually listen to Sarah Blondin, Blondin. She's amazing on there. So let's talk about journaling, actually, because I know that it's a big thing for you as well. How do you journal? What are some of your journaling tips for people listening today?
Yeah, so for me, journaling, I just let everything freely flow. It's really important that it doesn't have to be a certain way, because for business, there is an intention with everything and there's an outcome. For this, it's just whatever is inside comes out. But saying that, I also give myself a journal prompt every day. So I don't choose that on the spot. I choose that ahead of time. So I have a list. I'll have a page, an A4 page, and on that I have the dates, you know, one through to however many days in the month. Anything that comes up for me at any time that I feel resistance to, that I'm unsure about, that I feel that I'm scared of, that I'm happy with, they all go as a prompt, and I just write them all down, whatever space there is on these calendars. And then at night I sit down, I write the time that I start, and I write a little bit, just sort of free writing, whatever comes to mind. And then I go into, okay, my journal prompt for tonight is, and then I look at what it is, and I tell you, the amount of times that I look at it and go, oh, I really don't want to go there. I really don't want to talk about that. But I'm like, you know what? I have to go in there. And I have realizations all the time. It often brings up, it helps me heal, definitely helps me heal. And I have to explore for until I fill up the pages. I have 2 pages that I have to write over. And I say, when I say have to write over, I've made that commitment to myself, because it's part of my self-care as well. So, yeah, I do that. And then if anything comes up in that I feel I'm resisting to, then that goes in as a journal prompt. Anything that I'm really excited, and often I'll be like, oh, this is amazing. I have to put this in as another prompt because I want to talk about this more. It's probably been one of the most powerful things that I've ever done. And I've been journaling since I was young. I actually can't remember a time when I wasn't writing.
My mom actually found my travel journals from when I was a child, and I used to write poems. I used to travel journal. Like, she would make us write in them at night on our trips all around Australia. We'd write and we'd stick things in there. It was like a little bit of like a sticker book as well, but like coasters, and we'd write about our day. And yeah, so I've been journaling as long as I can write, pretty much, as well. Yeah. It's really served me well, I guess. And I've loved English, you know, for so long, but I love that you do journal prompts. I don't personally use them, but I give these to my clients a lot to work through different particular areas in their life that they're struggling with at the time. But I personally, I love flow journaling in the sense of visualization. So I'll sit and start my day, and I will speak into the now where I'm going. So as if it's already happening, I'm writing about that. So we got a little cut off there, and we are back onto the flow journal topic, because flow journaling is something that I love so much. And so you are nodding your head and agreeing there. Tell me more about your flow journaling and the visualization and bringing it into the now, because I guess for me, flow journaling is about more of a manifestation. I love like journal prompts for healing and working through things, but I love to manifest through flow journaling.
Yeah, flow journaling is my favorite thing. I always think of it as I'm writing the future, and I'm experiencing it as I go. And I do this I kind of like do a meditation, and really visualize in my mind where I'm going, everything about it, how it feels, how it smells. Absolutely everything about it. And then I'll do that for a while, and then I'll write, and I just keep writing until there's no more, but I'll have it around specific things within life as well. Relationships, money, lifestyle, how I'll be feeling, what I'll be doing, everything. It's the most exciting, and it works down to the detail. Like, it's absolutely. Just it blows me away. I go back and read things and I'm like, oh my goodness, that was exactly as I described it. And I never, and so many times I go, I don't understand why this is, but I don't understand it, but that's okay. That's what's coming up there. And it becomes clear after it happens.
So, yeah, I love that. That was a question I was going to ask you actually, Sarah, is do you read back your journals? Because for me, I don't read them back unless I'm looking at something like, you know, I have a different journal for like new moon, full moon, New Year's yeah. and different like real structured stuff. And that one I read back. But then I've got like the scribble one that I just never, you know, read. So do you read your journal things often or?
No, actually very rarely. I only go back on things where I've written about values. That I go back to regularly, and whatever my goals and my vision is, whatever's my vision, I go back to that. I do look at that, yeah. Yeah. But my journaling that I do each night, for me it's more just getting it out and I generally don't go back to it, yeah.
Yeah, most people, I would agree with that, I think. So let's talk about values then. You just mentioned values. I want to know what is value to you. Tell us a little bit more about
yeah.
it. Because I know that thing.
Yeah, so every year I go through and I sort of around December I start really, I mean, I'm thinking about my values all the time, but towards the end of December I actually go through and go, okay, what do I want for this coming year? You know, what areas do I feel that I really want to focus on, and I look at my values. So, you know, for me, my values are, you know, I can tell you what they are. They're health, ambition, leadership, creativity, confidence, purpose, passion, love, joy, and vitality. And they're not the same every year. They do vary, but they have the underlying same. They're similar. They're very similar every year. The thing I put number one is what my main focus will be. It doesn't mean that it's the thing that I'm on top of the most, but it's the thing that I really, for me, is the most important value to me. Last year was family, and this year is health. And it's something that, you know, is on my mind every day. It's something that I struggle with every day as well. But it's the thing that I put the most effort into. And I am always looking, going, am I aligning with those values? So you have similar.
Yeah, I would say my values are similar. Health is always and is a big number one for me. It's something that has been for a very long time. And studying nutritional science, you know, really health is up there. And then I'd say things like honesty, trust, integrity, courage, love, ambition. They're all really important to me. I love affection. It's not really a value, but it's something that's really important to me and things like that that I just really value in life. And for me, it's really about different ways on a regular basis for sure. And so I know you just said about struggling with habits. I want to really dive into this because I feel like we're talking about all these routines and, you know, how we do this and how we do that. And, you know, the listeners that are listening now might be like, oh, but I just don't have time to do that kind of routine. I don't, you know, I can't fit that in or that's just not possible for me. And what I want to say on that is, need to do what everybody else says is successful or is the right way to do things. It's about figuring out what personally works for you when it comes to mindfulness activities, when it comes to morning and night routines, and what works for you is key when it comes to that. So do you have anything to share on that as well around struggling with things?
Yeah, definitely. I struggled for a lot of my life really being quite judgmental to myself in not being able to be consistent with my habits. And I would think that I was a failure if I didn't actually follow through in all the list of things that I wanted to do, even if there was one little thing in there, which can be really not a good place to be, not good for your mental health. You know, even though I go through every day and, you know, with habits that I'm pretty solid in a lot of things, I still struggle as well. And what I've found is that you don't have to do a lot. It's not about how long you do it for or how much time. There's been times in my life where, and last year was a good example, you know, when I talked about values with family, I didn't have much time for much other than, you know, helping my parents who needed, you know, full-time care, both of them. And they there were times where I was like, how am I going to actually pull these things together to, you know, continue on looking after myself? And I found that you can take 30 seconds, and if that 30 seconds you're present, that's enough. And I found that a lot of the things, the small things, so for me it was actually I would get up in the morning, I would go outside and I would just look at the sky and just say thank you for being able to look at the sky each day and have that moment. And then I would go back inside and then I'll go along with everything. And any moment, sometimes I'll go through a whole day and night and just think I haven't stopped that whole time. And then before I'd sleep, I'd do the same thing in there. Or if I'm finding that I'm struggling, you know, to get in time sometimes with exercise, if there was a lot going on, I would, Dad, just, you know what, do some squats. And I go, I don't have time to do squats, just stand, you know, what, 50 squats? How can I do 50 squats? And I actually went through and I timed it and I was like, oh, 90 seconds. Do I not have 90 seconds in my day? I can do that. Do I brush my teeth? Yes. Okay, when I brush my teeth, do some squats while I'm brushing my teeth. So, you know, there's lots of things that it's, you know, they're just little examples, but there's always time for things. You just have to think differently. And like Rebecca said, it's 100% what's right for you is not right for everyone else. We all have our own ways.
Yeah, true that. And I think the thing, it's like, I love that if it's not a priority, you've got an excuse for it. And I think it's really important that we recognize that if we don't make the time, we're not going to have the time. There's time, like you just shared. I love that 90 seconds, 50 squats. Like, you do not have 90 seconds in your day, there are big problems in the world for you. Yep. Because it's like, wake up a minute earlier, wake up 5 minutes earlier. I love like the 5 a.m. club with Robin Sharma. Like, he talks about this and I teach my clients, don't go from, oh, but I sleep until 7 a.m. How can I wake up at 5 a.m.? I'll be tired. And that's a fact. We'll be tired and I don't doubt that. So what you want to do is go, okay, so I want to wake up 15 minutes earlier, do that for a couple of days, then wake up another 15 minutes earlier, do that for a couple of days, and eventually your body will reset and adjust. You can find the time to do small little habits throughout your day that are going to set up over time. And I love, I don't know where I heard it, but it's like that one push-up a day for a year. You might not get to do push-ups now, but in a year's time, one push-up a day, it's going to amount to being able to do push-ups, right? So finding those little things, finding the little things and fitting them in. And absolutely. So did you have anything else to share on that around struggling with habits or anything?
Yeah, don't be hard on yourself. Like, it's, and especially now with everything that's going on and changing, is just be kind to yourself. Don't feel that, you know, someone says, you know, you often can feel guilty if you're not doing it all the time. You know, I talk about habits every day publicly. I talk about that. And it would be so easy for me to then go, oh, I'm not doing it every day. You know, I'm not living by that. We're all humans. Like, yes. We're not robots. Thank yes. goodness.
Yes. totally.
And, you know, my routine, some days I don't get up and exercise. I just go, you know what, today I need that time to just do nothing in the morning. But it's taken me a long time to actually realize that as well. So it's not about having it all figured out. It's just little increments along the way, and it changes all the time. Just do little bits of everything. Like, if you do little bits.
That's what happens, it's, right? It's that little bit by little bit by little bit over time that amounts to one big thing. And I think I have a lot of coaches and people that are in that space that listen. And something I want to say is, if you're expecting your clients to do things and you're not doing them for yourself and you're not showing up, that's something you need to remember. So I often will be like telling my clients to journal and do all these things. And I'm like, but I'm not showing up and doing that. I need to get myself in check sometimes and go, how would I feel if my clients knew the things that I talk about practicing, right? So I think self-awareness is key, finding acceptance in the times that you don't, but all keeping yourself in check, in line, when it's like, oh, it's been a couple of weeks now and I haven't journaled. Pull yourself together. Like, why is that? Why have you not created space for that?
Yes, yep, that's exactly right. It's you're spot on with that as well. And for me, I know that I'll have that one day where I don't get up. And then if I go to do it the next day, I actually know enough now to go, Sarah, do you really need that extra day? Just go, get out there. And then if you feel like you need it, do it again tomorrow. But it's, yeah, and you find that you generally don't need that extra day. Your body just wants to go the easy way. So, you know,
of course,
make it uncomfortable.
That creates a habit in itself, continuing yep. those things. So we don't want to be doing that. So I wanted to talk a little bit about, I guess, mental health when it comes to habits, because it's something I'm extremely passionate about. I worked with Beyond Blue in the past. I work with a teen suicide company now, or charity, I should say. And I also personally have experienced really dark times, suicidal times, depression on a very high level. So for me, I really found things that worked for me through that time to get me through, but I still have those times where I really have to pull myself out of those places. So how important do you think having these mindfulness activities or habits or rituals or routines is it for someone who is struggling with mental health?
I think it's vital, to be honest. Like, and I'm only talking from my experience. I've also been in those places, and it comes and goes in life. Because, you know, life isn't always easy. It's often hard. And I think a big part of it is actually learning to forgive yourself. That can be one of the hardest things to do, but having those habits in there, they help ground you a bit as well. So no matter what happens, you actually have something that you feel like you're winning. And sometimes you don't feel like you're winning overall, but those little habits, like some nights I'll be journaling and I'm like, what, I have my proud house and I go, what is it that I've achieved today? And I go, I got through today. Or I had a cold shower, and that's really hard sometimes. But no, it's really, the habits really do just, they just help ground you and they help you work through things. They help you be present. They help you actually get through harder times, because you're doing things every day that can be out of your comfort zone. So you become almost, in a sense, comfortable with being uncomfortable, and uncomfortable with being comfortable. Did I say that rather the right way? And I think from me personally doing this, the habits has given me proof that you can do anything. And I know now that no matter what happens in the world, I can get through anything. I don't know how hard it will be, and I don't know how much it will, you know, hurt or anything, because you can't know that until you go through it. But I know no matter what happens, I can get through it. And I can say, before I started doing this, I didn't know that.
I love that. And I think sometimes we just need perception of the situation and really taking a moment to look at what's in front of us. And we find gratitude is really powerful. My best friend in the States that I send it to, she lost her partner to suicide in December. And so I started this with her to make sure that she recognized what good she still had in her life with all this going on. And so it's a challenging thing when you're in this space of darkness to really want to show up and do these things. But if you know that you've got that one thing that you need to do every day and you're just doing it, it kind of brings that calmness. It kind of finds and connects you back to yourself. And for me, meditation, yoga, and beach walks were the three things that really helped me through that time. And then one day I woke up 6 months later, I was like, I feel better now. Like I really found that. And I think when I start to slip and start to distance myself, I can feel the things now that are my triggers. And that's when I need to ramp up my self-care and remove my social media. And, you know, I've really learned over time how to manage my depression, I think. And so it's just key habits and key rituals and finding mindfulness activities and tools to use.
Yeah, the habits really put the power back into your hands, because no one saves us. Like, no one comes to save us. We only save ourselves. And, you know, we can only ever save ourselves, and we are the only ones who can give us that happiness as well. So, yeah, The habits are,
and I, what were you going to say?
The habits are, you know, to me, they, I feel that they're the key.
Yeah, they're everything, right? And I say that at the start of the episode is that no one's coming to save you. And I realized that when I turned 30, 31, I was like, right, it's all on me. There's no white knight in shiny armor coming to rescue me. It's all up to me. And so I want to dive, I guess, out of that sort of dark place and into like successful people, because everybody knows successful people have rituals and habits and set themselves up for their days, you know. And so something we were talking about before we jumped on live is serial starters and finishers. Which one are you? And for me, being a Gemini, I'm a one-woman circus. Literally doing 1,000 things. I've got, you know, what do they call it, multi-passionate and things like that. But I'll let you talk on that and I'll share where I fit into that little mix. But are you a serial starter or a finisher, Sarah?
I'm now a finisher. And it is so good to say that. Mm-hmm. It's I'm definitely a finisher now. And I can tell you that is a new thing for me. Majority of my life, I was a serial starter. And anyone who knows me well will tell you that, yes, I would start things and I wouldn't finish. And I would actually stop at the point where it became too hard, or I would just see something else I wanted to go towards. And, you know, I finish things in everything now. So I build up that finishing muscle, as I call it. And it will be everything from, you know, when I go to bed at night, I go to bed, I sleep, I wake up, I make my bed, I finish it off then. If I put the washing on, I take that out. They're all such simple things. You know, I take the washing out, I hang it up, and then I bring it in, I put it back where it's meant to go. Anything that I do now, I don't do it for everything. You know, I'm not perfect by any means in that respect, but I find that if I do all those little things that kind of don't mean much and finish those, it becomes easier to finish the bigger things. And yeah, I don't know. I don't really look at myself anymore as a serial starter where I used to. I'm definitely a finisher. So yeah, how about you?
I love that. And I think it relates very well to this shiny object syndrome that I talk about. And I've got a podcast episode on that. And I think as an entrepreneur, it is very easy to get, well, actually my partner and I call it the squirrel brain. We can be talking about something and then go over here and go over here and go over here. And then all of a sudden we've forgotten what we're even talking about. And that is very common. And that's what a serial starter is and feels like to me as well. And I think I definitely have learned over time that I'm on a mission and my job is to achieve. You know, I'm in for the long haul. I'm in for the long game, the end game. And for me, it's those little steps every day, like little habits, little rituals to get shit done, right? It's like the most common thing I see in successful people is that they're finishers. They go out with these amazing ideas. They obsess over it and they get it done. They achieve it. They're big dreamers, but they're also big finishers. So I definitely feel I am more to the finishing side. But again, like you said, it's very easy to, when you're a creative as well, to get excited about new ideas and things like that, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I think being a finisher as well, it helps if you know, well, it doesn't help. It's really, really important to know where you're going, where you want to go, because then it's easier to actually guide yourself in what's important and what's not. So
yes, absolutely. And I think that comes back to being very focused on the end goal or knowing exactly what your mission is and being present in that. And I want to talk about being present more, because too often do I see people with their head down and they're obsessed with, you know, social media, their phone, they're not present in this, they're doing all these different things and not actually focusing on the task at hand. And it's so common now, because we are so distracted and we are, you know, we're so, a habit that we actually have is picking up our phone and looking at Instagram or social media or doing this, and then you forget what you were even doing in the first place. So what's some tips on being more present from your side?
Yeah, I think listening is a big one. Mm-hmm. Listening is a huge one in being more present, and that's listening to who you're in conversation with. That's listening to what you're absorbing. It's also just listening to yourself, listening to the world around you, but really just, I think listening is a really big part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right there, because And I think I've learned over time, especially being a coach, more so about listening and pausing, listening and waiting for your turn. It's like listening and actually absorbing what the other person is showing you, doing, experiencing, and just really being with them whilst they are talking to you. I think that's really key. And it's a big relationship problem, I believe, alongside communication. And I think if more people were present in their relationship or with the person that they're with and not taking them for granted and those sorts of things, we'd have stronger, more beautiful friendships and relationships, intimate relationships for sure. I think we could talk about 1,000 different habits and rituals and values and all these things all day long. However, I am mindful of our time with our listeners today. Is there anything else, Sarah, that you would love to talk about before we wrap things up today, or anything you'd love to leave our listeners with?
Yeah, I think that, you know, with habits, choose the option that'll make you feel good later, not now.
I love that so much. I can totally relate to that. When I was a fitness model, you know, getting up at 3 a.m. to do cardio and then going and training clients and then training myself and then eating my meal consists, like, there was so much habit and structure in that. But it wasn't in that moment. It was the end game of eight weeks, 12 weeks later that I was going to see those habits amount into success. And I think sometimes it's so easy to be like, oh, it's not working. I've meditated for 5 days. It didn't really do anything. Or I'm journaling, but nothing's happening. And I think it's like, do those things knowing that over time, the amount of times that you do those things are going to create what it is that you desire.
Definitely, definitely. And then you'll find yourself, you know, just thinking that, you know, I often think I'm exactly where I'm meant to be. And that's just come from just being consistent with habits, you know, going through the ups and downs with them, the, you know, getting some right, getting some absolutely backwards. And yeah.
Totally. I love that so much. And so, Sarah, where can people find you? I want to share you with the world, and that's why I wanted you to be one of our first on the series. So where can people find you?
Thank you. The easiest way to find me is on Instagram, and my handle is Sarah Crawford XO. You'll find me on there, and then you'll find links to the different things that I do there.
Beautiful. Well, I'm incredibly grateful for our friendship and for having you on and being my number one guest. It really is exciting to be friends with people who live these missions, who are also very positive, who inspire me on a daily basis. So I'm incredibly grateful to know you and have you on Rebecca Neal podcast today.
Thank you so, so much.
Guys, I hope that you loved today's episode with Sarah, because I know that I did. And I cannot wait to share the other guests that are coming on over the coming weeks. So be sure to subscribe so that you do not miss out, because I know you're going to love them as much as I do, and you're going to feel super inspired just like I do. And I really admire these people, so I know in my heart of hearts that you're going to have such an incredible learning experience with them as well. See you on the podcast next week.